so don't shake her hand today. But we're the Pelletiers. So this is Greg Murray. He's the music man. And his wife, Heather, is going to be here for the morning service. She's also not doing so well, I think, not feeling well. Well, let's take our Bibles and let's go ahead and stand together, okay? Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. But then the Bible also talks about another passage. Ponder the path of thy feet, let thy ways be established. The Bible also talks about there's a way of life and the path of life. And so it's a good time to ponder the path that we're on. And let's ask God's blessing on this message. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you use the word today and every message. I know, Lord God, that you have a definite desire for this week. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead and that you give what is needed in the church at this time. Help us, Lord, to be a challenge and a blessing the entire week. And pray, Lord, that eternal difference will be made. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How important are the decisions that you make on a weekly basis here in the church and in your own personal life? I don't mean from my perspective as an evangelist, or I don't mean from maybe the preacher's perspective, but from your perspective, how important are the decisions that you make? I have an article here that I'm going to read, and I'll read it if I can. My glasses aren't doing so well. I need to replace them. But it says, Alan J. Hudson of Ozark, Alabama, died Friday evening, September 19th, 2003. It's 10 years ago now. In a Dothan hospital as a result of injury sustained in an automobile accident. He was 22. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Monday, September 22nd in the Holman Funeral Home Chapel. Reverend Dave Lewis will be officiating, and it says there will be a memorial that will be given to Dale County Christian School, and it says the survivors include his mother, Beverly Hudson. Survivors include Daniel Ray Hudson, a brother, and his wife, Leslie, which he wasn't married to. It wasn't really his wife. And then a special friend, and he gives her name, and that was somebody that he was seeing. Now, I don't usually build a message on a story, but there is some application here, and I want to look at this thought, because sometimes we don't think that the decisions that we make regularly are all that important. Now, I never will forget when Dave Lewis, the pastor of this church in Alabama that I preach at, called me and he said, I've got some bad news. And I said, okay, what is it? He says, do you know Alan Hudson? I said, sure do. Of course I do. He and I did spend a lot of time together. He was one of the teenagers I was working with, and we really spent a lot of time together. So anyway, he says, well, I've got some bad news. Alan Hudson died today in an accident. And he said there were a whole lot of beer cans, and he died from drunk driving. Well, I knew this guy. He had sat in the church services where I'd preach regularly. In fact, I would go to that church at least once every 2 years, almost every year, since the guy was in eighth grade. Now he's 22 years old. And when I heard that he died from drunk driving, I began to think about this. And I thought about all the times that he'd heard preaching about alcohol. And I thought about all the times he'd heard preaching and he'd make decisions, walk away from them. Other times he'd be flippant about them. And I began to think about how important are these meetings that we're having. And I began to think, how important are these one-on-one conversations that we have? And I concluded they're very important. And I concluded every one of these decisions that need to be made are important. And as I begin to think through the importance of the decisions, I concluded something. I concluded that Alan really did not die because of drunk driving, but Alan actually died because he didn't take care of the sins that we talk about every day, and we sometimes think it's not being that significant. Someone has talked to us about how important these meetings are and how important the decisions that we make all the time really are. And I'm speaking on the subject, why Alan died, from Proverbs chapter 14 is our text, but why Alan died. Now, as I look at this, the first thing that I want to draw our attention to is the cause of his death. Now, here's the cause of his death. I'm convinced of it. I knew this guy. It was his way. His way. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end are of the ways of death. It wasn't just the drunk driving. It was the way that he approached life and the things of God all the way along. Okay? Now, the newspaper article said he was killed in an automobile wreck. That's not how it happened. The way that it happened really goes back to when he was in 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and when he was in revival meetings and his response to the things of God. That's really how it happened. Now, first of all, he was confronted about in sin and he was indifferent. Now, the first thing that led to his death was his indifference. All right, Proverbs 1, 29 and 30. They wouldn't under my counsel. They wouldn't listen. They despised my reproof. Don't preach at me. They wouldn't under my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, be filled with their own devices. And if you get indifferent about the preaching and don't even want to hear it, and you get flipping it like these things are insignificant, that could be a way that Alan took that could lead to problems and even potentially premature death. Now, when I was in high school, there was a movie that came out, and it was called Animal House. I never watched it, never have seen it, but I do know that there was one phrase in there where they were very flippant and indifferent. Because when the guys were in school, they would do this thing. They would get in trouble with the principal, and they'd all look at each other, and they'd kind of smirk, and then they'd pound the table together. They'd go, "It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter." I said, "Somebody, where's that come from? What's that all about?" And they said, "It's from a movie, Animal House." Well, whenever they would get in trouble with their parents, does the Bible say honor your father and mother? But they were getting parents' problems, and they'd come and tell each other about it, and they'd go, "It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter." And they get in trouble because they broke a rule at school. Now, even if the rule is thou shalt not chew gum, it's a rule. And the Bible says, obey them which have the rule over you. Well, whenever they got in trouble, whether it be a small thing or a big thing, it just doesn't matter. And it was this indifferent spirit about these things. Well, I remember when there was a time that Alan did care about things. He had begun to get away from God. I'd preach to him. He'd come and we'd talk, and then he would get right with God. But then, as he got older, he got harder. Then I'd preach to him, and eventually he'd get right. Then he'd fall away. But then, as he got older, he got even harder. And I'd say to him, "You need to get right with God, Alan." And Alan said, "I don't care." And I'd say, "You better care," and things like that. And eventually he would break. Well, when he was in his 20s, I remember being there and I said, "Alan, let's go out." Because Alan had gotten tattoos. Alan had then gotten Harley Davidson. Alan, not that there's a sin in that, but Alan had gotten tattoos, Harley Davidson, and just got that wild thing going. And he was actually dating a girl who was married to another man. And so we go out and we're talking at McDonald's. It's probably two or so. It's one of those places where you could be all night. So as we're talking, I say, "Alan, you're really messing up. You're 22 and you're just about to totally destroy your future." And I'll never forget this young man. He is 6'4" or something like that. getting in my face and he's saying, Mike, I don't care. And he said that to me again. And I said to him, Alan, you better care. And he says again, I don't care. And that was the last conversation that I had with Alan. Well, I never will forget when I got that phone call that he was killed by drunk driving. I immediately began to go back in my mind to when he said, I just don't care. And what I think really ended up putting him in an early grave is that he just quit caring. Now, a lot of times we get a little discouraged because we fail. And I think what probably happened with Alan is that he failed so much he just quit trying. I've talked to some people who fail so much, they say, well, what's the use of trying because I'm just going to fall again. The Bible says, though, in Proverbs 24:16, that the just man falleth seven times. But what's he do? He riseth up again. And seven times doesn't mean just seven times. It's saying it's going to happen. Now, some of you might have some sin problems. You might have pornography as a sin problem. And you get to where you say, well, I'm just this way. I just don't care anymore. You quit caring and you're done. You need to care because this is a big deal. You might say, well, I've got another sin. Well, I just don't care anymore because I'm never going to change. Now, God doesn't want you to sin, but he doesn't fault you as much for the sin as he does for not getting back up. And you've got to keep caring or you're done. Now, how many of you have ever taken a bath before? All right. Now, how many of you have ever taken a second bath before? At least two baths in your life. Okay, now, why did you take a second bath when the first one didn't last? Why in the world would we keep taking baths? Because we know it's not going to last. It's because we know that we're going to get dirty, and we know that we're going to need to bathe, and so we just do it because we know that's a regular thing that's going to have to happen. And this thing with fighting sin is you're going to have to do it on a regular basis. Now, I remember when I was a little boy, I had a younger brother, Tim at the time, and Tim was just learning how to walk. And I can remember when we were sitting in the living room, and I'm at one chair, and my brother's at another chair, my older brother, and then Tim's in the middle, and he's just starting to walk, and he falls, and then he gets back up, and he falls, and he gets back up, and before long, he can walk. Well, the same way spiritually, we're going to fall in some areas, and we get back up, and then we might fall again, but then if we get back up because we want to, we care about this thing, we might fall again, but then we care enough that we get back up, eventually we'll learn how to walk in that area. But maybe there'll be another area where we don't do so well. But the point is not that we fail. The point is when we quit caring, then we're done. Now, are you becoming indifferent? Are you becoming apathetic? Are you becoming apathetic about God just for whatever? Is that becoming your attitude? If you're becoming apathetic, you are on a course that's a way of death and ruin. And so Alan did not die from drunk driving. Alan died because of indifference. And that's something that you've got to be keenly aware of in your life. Now, then we have the second reason that Alan died. I am totally confident that I know him, I knew him, and I know why he died. It was number one, because of indifference. It was number two, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And in verse 14, we'll see the second reason that Alan died. Alan died from indifference, and here's the second reason. He did something that some of you are doing. And you may say, well, it's not a matter of life and death, but it is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of life and death. He died because of influence. Influence. All right, Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the who? Wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Now, some of you are not avoiding the path of the wicked. In fact, you're walking to the path of the wicked. Young people especially. You have got to guard your friendships. And if you don't listen and you say, oh, that's just an old guy who's just stupid, you are taking a wrong path. I'm not the one that said be careful of the friends that you choose. God is the one who said be careful of the friends that you choose. Now, you college students, you also need to consider this. It's not the preacher who is saying stay away from the wrong friends. It's God who says stay away from the wrong friends. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Now, I was talking with a young man recently, and he was talking about his purity. And he said, it's not like I am, and he used some words that I don't think he should ever use, describing a very wicked woman. He was saying, I'm not that way. He said, I've only lost my purity four times. I'm not that way. And if I'm thinking, if he's comparing himself to the crowd that he's with, and only losing your purity four times makes you purer, he's with the wrong crowd. Now, he said, I've made up my mind that I'm not going to get involved with anyone. And the last one that I was involved in, I dated her for 6 months before we did anything bad. And I'm going, 6 months makes you where you think it's a legitimate thing to get involved in things you should not. And then as I talked to him a little bit further, I heard, as he would describe the crowd that he was with, he said, you know, most people, if they go on a date for 6 days, then by the sixth day, they're involved in things because they have a deep relationship. Now, here's what's going on, folks. Entering into the path of the wicked is changing the way that we think. And whether everybody else in the world is doing wrong, the Bible still says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible still says, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, getting around the wrong crowd. Now, the funeral was attended by a lot of Alan's former classmates at Dale County Christian School. He was a Christian. One young man who was a former classmate in that Christian school that I knew very well as well. We had gone golfing together. When I went into that funeral, he was visibly shaking. And so he comes up to me and he says, Brother Mike, can I talk to you in the other room? So I go in and I'm trying to comfort him for the loss of our good friend. And then he said, I'm the reason he's in that casket. I'm going, what are you talking about? And he says, I'm the one who gave Alan his very first can of beer. They were high school students, Christians, went to the Christian school. And one day he said, hey, let's just try this out. Here, man. And he gave him his very first can of beer. And you know what? In actuality, he is right. In a sense, he is the reason that Alan's in that casket. Would you parents agree? Now, I wonder how many people end up in a casket because some friend gave them their first drug. Some friend gave them their first can of beer. I wonder how many guys get hooked on pornography and become perverts because some friend showed them something they shouldn't. Now, how would you like to be the guy who gave Alan his first can of beer and he winds up dead? Now, seriously. Bible says, Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. His what? Ways. Let's all say that. His what? Ways. All right, now, if you hang around the right crowd, you'll learn the right ways. If you hang around the wrong crowd, you'll learn the wrong ways. And what I'm simply saying is, these issues are life and death. Okay? Adults, who you hang around, you got to be careful. What you look at, you got to be careful, because influence really will affect what we do. And young people, I wonder, how many of you are starting to hang around a crowd that really is not good for you? College students, it's a college town. How many of you are hanging around with a group that really is not a good group for you? And evil communications do corrupt good manners, and that's Bible. And it's meant for your protection. It's not meant to say, you wicked, ungodly, scum rebels. It's meant to say, if you hang around the wrong crowd, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to influence the wrong way. And think about who you're hanging with. That's why Alan's in a grave. I believe it with all my heart. Now, friends don't always have your best interests in mind. I can remember when I was in Guam and I was preaching, and there were two teenagers sitting on my right, about three rows back, and I never will forget when that first teenager at the invitation raised his hand and he said, I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. And he didn't say it out loud, but that's what he was saying by raising his hand. I want to be saved. And I never will forget when his friend sitting next to him reached over, grabbed his hand, pulled it down, and smirked. So then I said to the man that was sitting next to him, teen that was sitting next to him, did you hear what he said to him after that? He says, yeah. He said, put your hand down. We don't want to get saved. Wish I had a buddy like that. What are you talking about, go to church? Forget that stuff. What are you talking about? You don't have to listen to your parents. Don't be stupid. I wish I had a friend like that. Don't be stupid. When actually, that friend is stupid. Anybody who is encouraging us to go against God and his ways is not giving wisdom. They're giving foolishness, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So we've got influence, and that influence is what killed him. Now, how many of you in the past, don't raise your hand, but how many of you in a moment of rebellion will say in recent history here, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, not right now, you're not living for God like you should right now, and in not too long ago of a time period, you gave somebody else a cigarette. Now, how would you like to give somebody their first cigarette and then in time they die from cigarette smoking? Is there anybody here, not too far back, you took somebody to a club? How would you like to find out later that that person got hooked on alcohol because you took them to a club and they die from drunk driving? And honestly, we could say, oh, that's a little bit strong, Mike. Actually, it's not. It's actually not. Because evil communications corrupt good manners, and Alan is in a casket because we take lightly these things that are matters of life and death, okay? Now, it may seem strong to say, well, Alan's in a grave because he got apathetic about God. It's not too strong. It may seem strong to say Alan's in a grave because of influence of the wrong friends, but his own friend told me that he's in that casket because of him. And we really do influence each other for good or for bad. And these are matters that are issues of life and death. Well, there's smoking. Well, there's drinking. Well, there's drugs. Well, there's indifference, where there's being a bad influence and a good influence. Those are life and death issues too. All right, now let's take a look at a third thing that I think was a matter of life and death for him. And I could tell you many other stories about people like that, but the point is made. Now, the third thing is iniquity. Now we have iniquity. Now let's look at Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Now, how many of you in this room today are absolutely perfect? None. How many would agree you've got a sin nature still? How many would agree that your husband has a sin nature? All right, your friend has a sin nature. Now, we all have a sin nature, and we're all going to sin. And iniquity is something that we're all going to do. All right, but Proverbs 13:15 says that if we take that way, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. That's what the Bible says. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. So if I take the path of pornography, that is a way of transgression or a way of iniquity. That's going to lead to something that is hard to handle. It's hard. The result of that's not good. If I take the path of, all right, I'm going out with somebody, I'm starting to date this girl, and hey, we're doing a few things we shouldn't do. Hey, we're having a good time. It's going to end up not being a good time. If I take any path of sin, the way of transgression is, not might be, the way of iniquity is hard. Now, when we look at Alan's death, we can see obviously that he died, and we can relate it to sin. Now, we think of it being that he died, and I'm talking again about why Alan died, and I'm talking about how important these decisions are, okay? Now, I've talked about this stuff. Don't want to lose your train of thought. We think about the sin that he did, and we say, well, his sin was drinking. That's a sin. And we say, well, it's very obvious he died because of his sin. But you know, it wasn't his drinking, as I thought this thing through, that was the sin that maybe led to his death so much as it was some of his regular sins, some of the lesser sins. All right, now, one of the things I believe that led to his premature death was his anger. Anybody in this room have a problem with anger? I have to raise my hand. That has been one of my things in the past. I believe I'm doing well with it, but that thing can pop its ugly head up. Now, when he was mad at someone, he would demonstrate his anger in many ways. One way that he would demonstrate his anger is he would drive back and forth in front of their house like a caged, ferocious animal. He would pull up in front of their house, and then he'd rev his engine. Vroom, 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 let them know he was out there. Then he'd peel out, and then he'd take off the stop sign or whatever, and he'd come back. Then he'd rev his engine, and he'd do this 5 or 6 times in front of the house, just to let him know he was out there and mad. Now, I know this for a fact because I stayed at the pastor's house, and he didn't know I was there. And he was mad at the pastor's daughter that time. He was a junior, and she was a senior, and he was mad at her. And so he pulled in front of there, and he did that thing, and then he'd speed off, and then he'd come back and ask at least 5 or 6 times. I said, does he do this all the time? That's the way Alan is, she said. Well, you know what? When Alan died, it was interesting. He was driving back and forth in front of the place where his girlfriend was working. This was the married woman. And he was mad at her, and then he called her on the cell phone, and she hung up on him. He then drove over to where she was working, and then he went in front of where she was, and he peeled out. Then he came back in, and he peeled out. And after 5 or 6 times, he peeled out one last time, and he took off. He was done, and his rage going so fast, came to curve, swerved a little bit, and done. Now, we think of it being his drinking. You know what? I believe it was his anger more than his drinking. Now, how many of you have an anger issue? Now, you say, well, everybody's got an anger issue, okay? It's not a big thing. Everybody's got a little anger issue. Folks, That's what put Alan in a grave. You follow me? Now, you say, well, I'm not drinking and driving. I can control my car. How many people may not have an automobile wreck that puts them in an early grave, but their anger blows something else apart that they can't put back together? Now, somebody has said a temper is sort of like a shotgun. It's over just like that, but it blows everything in its way to pieces. And you can have a temper, and just like that, boom, and you have just lost your job, sir. You can have a temper, and you can go, boom, say something, and you've just been grounded for the rest of your life. Okay? You can have a temper, and you could blow up, and guess what? You're going to say some swear words, and it's going to be very hard for you to ever be a witness for Christ to that person again. And you could have a temper, and you could do something, and you could hurt somebody that you love in a way that you'll never be able to fix it for at least a long time. Now, the temper is a matter of life and death. All right, the temper is a matter of life and death. Now, I don't want to bore or wear you out. I don't want to wear you out with just coming over the same thing, same thing, the same thing. But how many of you guys right now have anger issues? Shut up! Anger. Anger. Oh, it's so cute. No, it's wicked, and it will be life and death. And you know what's going to happen? If you don't learn how to control your anger when you're a teenager, you're not going to control your anger when you're married. And if you don't control your anger when you're married, guess what? You're going to have a divorce. And these are just little things. Everybody's got an issue. Well, you be indifferent about your anger, and it will cause you problems. Now, are some of you parents so proud that you're constantly angry? You're constantly fighting with each other. Well, she doesn't recognize me to be what I am. Well, he doesn't recognize what I am. And, well, my kids are just blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And if there's constant anger and you say, well, I'm not a cusser, I'm not a drinker, I'm not a smoker, I'm not in pornography. If there's constant anger, that is a matter that has to be dealt with. Now, if we're indifferent about these things, then it's going to lead to things that are hard, okay? Now, Alan died because of his regular sins. His second sin that was a regular sin, let's turn their Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I know I'm being this strong, some of this, but these issues are really important issues. All right, now Proverbs 20:20. Whoso curseth his mother and his father, his lamp shall be put out into obscure darkness. Whoso curseth his father, his mother, or his father, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now, it's not a coincidence that when sometimes people are rebellious toward their parents, they end up being in an early grave. And a lot of times people say, well, it's just a teen thing. It's a sin thing. It has to be dealt with. Oh, it's not that big of an issue. It's a big issue. Now, Alan had a rebel problem. He was rebellious toward anyone who was in authority, frankly. His principal would tell him to do something at the Christian school. He would be angry. And the way that he would pay back the principal, this happened. He would go to the soccer field at night when nobody was there, and he'd do donuts on the soccer field, and he'd just tear up the soccer field. And they never could catch him, But they thought it was him, but they couldn't catch him. He'd deny it. Everybody'd cover for him. And then the guys at the schools would talk about how cool it was that Alan got the principal back. Whenever he got in trouble, man, was he a rebel. I can remember hearing about the night before Alan died, he still had his rebel streak. He goes in as a 22-year-old to his mom and says, "Mom, give me some money." Mom said, "Mom doesn't have any more money, Alan. Give me some money." "Mom doesn't have any more money to give you, Alan. Where's your purse?" "Mom doesn't have any more money to give you, Alan." And he goes to the house till he finds his mom's purse. He opened the purse and he took some money and he left. And do you know that that very money that he took from his mom, who said, "I can't afford to give you any," he went out, bought alcohol, got smashed. And that led to his death. Rebellion is a matter of life and death. Now, as you look at this, I know that we have a tendency of seeing some sins as more important than others, some more serious than others. And it's true. Did you know that Jesus actually said that some sins are greater than others? Now, all sin will lead people to hell. Some sins are greater than others, though. Jesus said to Pilate, "The one that delivered me to you hath committed the greater sin." Remember hearing that? Now, I personally think that homosexuality is a bigger deal than some teen mouthing off to his mom. I personally think that abortion is a bigger deal than me telling a lie. I personally think that all these things are definitely bigger issues. But when it comes to sin, sometimes people think, well, these are big issues, these are insignificant. No, these are bigger issues, but these are a matter of life and death. These are also a matter of life and death even more seriously. But all sins, big issue. Because there's no sin that we can get caught in that can't cause us some problems. I remember when I was a boy, when I was first in the ministry, I was at a camp and there were all these mice that were getting into our trailer, and my wife doesn't like mice in the trailer. I think they're cute. So anyway, these mice were in the trailer and my wife says, "We got to kill them. We got to kill them." So we got mouse traps and we would set them up through the trailer, and then you'd hear in the middle of the night, snap. So I'd have to get up and I'd have to go in and pick it up and take it outside and throw away the mouse, set it again, put the cheese, peanut butter, put it in the drawer, shut the drawer. Then an hour later, snap. Pick it up, take it outside and throw it away, set the trap, put it in. Then I'd hear snap here, snap there, and all night long, "Get rid of these things, you got to kill them." And so we're killing them. And then all of a sudden I go in kind of half dazed because I'm so tired, and I go and open a drawer and I reach in, and you know why? That mouse was still very alive. It had been caught by the paw and it was going when I was trying to pick it up. So I put on a leather glove. And I put on that leather glove, and then I went in and picked that thing up. It couldn't bite me, and I beat it against a tree, and it's dead. Now, sometimes we don't think about how serious getting caught in a little bit of sin really is. Just a little pornography, just a little sin, just a little can of beer, just a little attitude. And here's a mouse. Now, a lot of times I've heard that an animal may get caught in a trap, and the spirit's life, it'll chew off a paw. And they do that. And it'll chew off a limb, and it'll go off to safety because it knows its life's in danger. Now, if you go into the woods over there in Virginia, next to that place where we were parked, you'll find a mouse carcass, and it has all four paws, but it's buried dead. And he got just a little bit caught in my trap. And when you just get a little bit caught in sin, you don't realize it, but it is truly a matter of life and death. Now, that's why I'm talking so seriously about some of these things. I'm telling you, young people, you hang around with a guy who's going to be talking filthy, you're going to be talking filthy. You hang around with a guy who's going to say, hey, it's okay, I've been dating her for 6 days now, you're going to be stupid too. And if you start having an attitude and your friends have an attitude and you college students think for 1 minute that you're so good and godly that you're not going to be influenced by those parties you're going to, you're wrong. And those are life and death issues. And if you don't stop going to those places, you're going to start doing what they're doing, if you haven't already done it. And these are life and death issues. And the only way for things to be better in your life is if you call these things life and death issues. All right, now, the first thing we looked at is why Alan died. The second thing and the third things are going to be quick, and we'll close with a Sunday school hour. We've got about 10 minutes here. The second thing I want to look at, it's in this obituary. It says when Alan died. All right, now here it gives the date. It was September 21st, 2003, almost 10 years ago now. But it gives the day and about the time and all that, but that's not really when Alan died that I want to emphasize. Now, first thing I want to emphasize is we went to the spot where Alan's girlfriend worked. We got in that automobile, the pastor's automobile, and I said, let's see how long it took him to get to that corner. And we counted. When he went out of that parking lot, he was going a lot faster than we were going. We were going a little over the speed limit just to kind of get a feel for it. And we counted 1, 2, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, 11,000, 12,000, got to the corner, 13, and that was it. So about 13 seconds after his rage of peeling out, he was dead. How long did it take him to die? 13 seconds. You know what? Sometimes we don't see how an anger issue could put us in a grave in 13 seconds. Sometimes we don't see how a can of beer could put us in a grave in 13 seconds. Sometimes we don't see how an immoral action could give us something that could put us in a grave. And these things are life and death issues. Proverbs 20:20. His lamp shall be put out. That's an instant thing. Proverbs 29:1. Suddenly be destroyed. That's an instant thing. And it's an instant thing. Proverbs 6:15. His calamity shall suddenly come. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. How's it come? Instantly. Now, I know that this is intense, okay? I know that this has been strong. But some of you actually could actually be in this month dead if you don't listen this day. Some of you could actually be ruined in a year if you don't listen this day. And here's what happens. People die instantly, but people die unexpectedly. I take these things seriously because it's been more than one that has sat under my messages that are in a grave because they didn't listen to God's word. Okay, now unexpectedly, I have in my hand a Walmart receipt. I went over to the accident, to the garage where they had the car hauled that he was in, which, by the way, also had the car of the young mother who had her child in the back seat. That he was in his intoxication so out of control that he hit. Put her in the hospital for a long time. And I opened up the trunk in her vehicle, and I found a Walmart receipt, and there were groceries there in the trunk. And she spent $90.94, and it says that she was in Walmart at 8:15 a.m. The accident happened at 8:30 a.m. And just 15 minutes later, she had no idea. And unexpectedly, this drunk driver out of his mind. And of course, Alan was unexpected that he would wind up in a hospital and dead after that. And our sins can, like the Russian roulette game, just hit at any time. How many of you have ever heard of the Russian roulette game? Okay, you put a bullet in and you spin the barrel. And I'm not just trying to talk tough here, but the fact is you spin that barrel and there's a good possibility that if you keep playing that game, one day the bullet's going to land. And you could say, well, I got by with the sin this time. I got by with the sin that time. I got by with pornography this time. I got by with drinking that time. It didn't hurt anything. It didn't hurt anyone. And that bullet will lodge the next time. And it will hurt. And this is the way that sin works, unexpectedly. So don't be light on these things. They're life and death issues. All right, we talked about when Alan died. And let's close by looking at the effect of Alan's death, okay? Now, in this obituary, it says, first of all, a memorial can be given in Dale's memory to Dale County Christian School in Ozark, Alabama. Now, they've got a memorial plaque, and they had some memorial gifts given, and then here's this flag now to the memory of Alan Hudson, the graduate who died prematurely in an automobile wreck. Now, here's the memory. He's got an American flag, and everything looks real pretty. But here's the memory. Everyone who looks at that American flag and knows anything about it says, this is the guy who died from drunk driving. Right? Now, what kind of a memory are we going to be leaving? Are we going to be leaving a memory with honor that we serve the Lord, that we were faithful to our spouse, we were good dads, we were good moms, we were good grandparents, we were faithful and we were an example? Are we going to leave a memory? Yeah, that's the one who, whatever. I personally want to leave a good memory. All right, he died, the memorial. He died in shame. He left behind a grieving mother. Now, the obituary talks about how he left behind his mother. He left behind his brother. He left behind his wife who wasn't his wife. He left behind a special friend who was somebody else's wife. His life was a mess. But here's what he really left behind. A grieving mother who realizes she'll never see her boy again and had great hopes for him. And I remember going out to eat with her, and she said, Mike, Alan used to love you. He was a good boy. He'd do anything for you. He really had a tender heart. You know, Mike, after he was with you, he'd often say how he'd like to be a preacher. And you want to know what this woman's really doing? She's trying to grieve with her, trying to deal with her grief and try to turn this into some good memory. And here's a woman that's just broken and grieving, and I wonder, wouldn't that have been so much better if she actually could have said, he was a good boy. He did love God. He did want to serve God. And the other thing that Alan left behind, he left a whole lot of little Alans. Now, what do I mean? He influenced a lot of people in a bad way. Now, as I mentioned, be careful about how we influence each other. This is life and death issues. Now, when he left behind these people in the parking lot, I go to the grave, I go to the funeral, I go in to see his body the very first time I'm there. I'm going to preach at this funeral. Drove 700 miles, by the way, to get there. 700 miles to get back. I'm not saying this is a kid I didn't know. I don't drive 700 miles just to drive 700 miles. So we drove there, and as I pull into the parking lot, Chris Warmouth is over here. He's one of the little Alanites. He's got a black Corvette. Now he's an adult. And when I walk in, Chris sees me, and Chris just stands there next to his black Corvette, and he's got a cigarette in his mouth. And he's going, he's looking at me going, like, what you gonna do, preacher? What you gonna do, preacher? And here, Alan had influenced this young man, Chris, to be the same way. Do you know that on the very day that Alan died, on his funeral, somebody went on the soccer field and they did a lot of donuts and tore up the soccer field. The very day he died. You know what that was? One more for Alan. And do you realize that the very day that he died, the next day actually that he died, they all got together, all of his friends, and they went to the corner where Alan was killed in that automobile wreck? Listen to this. They wanted to remember him, so they said, bring your pictures. Bring your pictures. So they all brought pictures of Alan, and they had a beer party in memory of Alan right across the street from where he died. Isn't there something messed up with that? And here's what I'm saying. It's been too long since we've really had a fear of sin. It's been too long since we've really been afraid to sin. Listen, we've got guys that are rebellious toward their parents and it's no big deal. We've got college students that are going to parties, I'm not hurting anybody. And you have not got a fear of sin. And it's been too long since we've had a fear of sin. And we've got to get that thing back. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,